Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400 plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
There and welcome once again to the Gary Zimak Show. My name is Gary Zimak. I'm going to be here with you for the next 30 minutes. So settle on in, relax as we talk about the Mass readings for the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The message this week sounds like a tough one, but you know what? It's one we really need to understand. The message is rejecting God's messenger. Sometimes, as we've seen with the prophets down throughout history, the message gets rejected for any number of reasons. And look, I'm going to be honest with you. I have rejected God's message preached to me through many prophets over the years. You know, I've rejected it at times when it involves something that I don't want to hear, when it involves modifying some behavior that I don't want to modify. And you know what? I'll be honest. There will be times in the future where I will reject the message again. And I hope that I'm able to recognize it and fix it. Because, look, let's face it, at times we all don't want to hear what God has to say, especially when the message might be a little too challenging, when I maybe have to love somebody who I don't want to love, when I maybe have to hold back on saying something that I really want to say. These are subtle ways that we all reject the Lord's message as spoken through the prophets. And ultimately, as you're going to see in today's gospel, in the gospel from this Sunday's Mass, I should say, even Jesus found himself rejected, obviously because he died on the cross. But even before that, he was rejected by people who didn't want to believe in him, who didn't want to be stretched or challenged by him. So it happened to him. It's going to happen to us as we try to share the gospel with others, as we try to do what's right and set an example and maybe tell somebody, you know, this is what God wants. This behavior, it's not right. You know, there's times we're going to have to tell people that. And quite often we're going to be rejected just as Jesus was and just as many of the prophets were throughout history. It doesn't change the effectiveness or the power of the message. The truth is the truth. But absolute truth can be very difficult for some individuals. So we'll talk about it. We'll talk about how it affects us. We'll talk about how it affects others. But today's message is all about rejecting God's messenger. All right. So again, I'm glad to have you with me here on the program. Why don't we pray and then we'll get right into the readings. Okay. So we're going to turn to our Heavenly Father. We're not going to reject him right now. We're going to turn to our Father in heaven who loves us, who is standing by and who wants to help us. So we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, it is so good to be able to be in your presence and to be able to speak to you. Father, we don't deserve this opportunity. We certainly don't deserve the opportunity to address Almighty God. We don't deserve the opportunity to be your children. We don't even deserve the opportunity to be alive. We didn't do anything to bring that about. Nothing, zero. But out of your love, out of your unconditional, infinite, and passionate love for us individually, you decided to create us at a certain period in history, born to a specific set of parents, born in a specific geographical region? None of this was accidental, Father. We know that. And we thank you for thinking of us, for thinking us into existence. And we're grateful that your Son Jesus came to earth to free us from our sins and to allow us to be adopted by you and to call you Father. So we're so grateful for that, Father. We turn to you with our needs this day. We have various needs. We give them all to you and ask you to handle them, material needs, spiritual needs. You can do all things. We believe that. Sometimes we don't feel it, but intellectually, through faith, we believe it. We know, Father, that you are all-powerful. So we give you our needs. We ask you to handle them for us. Father, we pray for the grace to avoid displeasing you through sin. We pray that we will never reject your message as spoken through the various prophets in our lives and throughout history. We pray that we will have an increased desire to do your will at all times. And Father, I ask you today to send your Holy Spirit out upon me, to fill me up with a fresh outpouring of your Spirit so that I can deliver the message that you have for us on this day. And finally, Father, please open up all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to the message that you have for us in this program. And we ask these things in the most holy and sacred name, Father, of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and your Son, and who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. My name is Gary Zimak. You are listening to The Gary Zimak Show. We come to you each week for 30 minutes as I look at the Sunday Mass readings. You know, and as I was preparing today, the whole theme of typically what I do is I'll go through the readings, ask the Holy Spirit to help me. And I had to read these a couple of times. And this message of this idea of rejecting God's messenger, it's not, I wouldn't say it's an especially uplifting message, but it's one that we need to know for a couple of different reasons. Number one, if we speak on behalf of the church, or if we try to, you know, stick up for God and Jesus and in the world, we can expect to get some pushback, to get some resistance. It will happen. The message will be rejected by some people. That doesn't mean we specifically go looking to annoy people. You know, I think I've been there. I have done that, and I've realized it's a mistake. Just speaking the truth in a charitable way, very even-tempered, that's enough to annoy people if they don't want to hear the message. But we have to be careful that we're not picking fights. You know that feeling? I mean, I've done that. I always started off with the best of intentions, but then somehow pride would creep in, and I wanted to win the battle. And I'm just going to show these so-and-sos why that I'm right about my view of the Bible. And, you know, we got to be a little careful about that. So it's good to know the reaction that we can get from others. Not everybody's going to greet this, the Lord's message, with open arms. And also, it's good that we're aware of how it's possible for us to reject the message, oftentimes in subtle ways. You know, I just went to the Sacrament of Reconciliation a few days ago, and there were many things that I confessed where I realized I did fall short, and I knew what God's message was, and I knew what I was supposed to do, but I didn't do it. Why? Because I didn't want to. Doing the wrong thing felt good to me. Thank God for the Sacrament of Confession. You know, I'm going to tell you, if it's been a while for you, I would just urge you to go back. It's so life-changing, and it's going to make you feel so good if you do that. So please consider that, and just remember, it's good for us all to know that we mess up sometimes. Sometimes we all reject the message of the prophet. And we'll talk a little bit today also about what it means to be a prophet, how you and I are actually prophets and what the prophet does. So we got a lot to do. I'm looking at the readings. They're not especially long today, so that's good. It's not too much to squeeze in, but powerful nonetheless. 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We are just about at the halfway point in the church year, the liturgical year. So there are 33 weeks in the liturgical year. with the 34th week being the solemnity of Christ the King. That closes out the church year, and after that we move into Advent. So we're coming up on the halfway point, just to sort of give you an idea of where we are. And this is a message that it's not tied to Lent specifically. It's not tied to Advent. This is an ordinary time message, but it's an important message nonetheless. And the church felt that this is what we are supposed to focus on, the idea of the rejection of God's messengers. So before we look at the readings, I just want to direct you to my website, followingthetruth.com, followingthetruth.com, to find out about my latest book, Give Up Worry for Good. We're still doing an online study of the book, and it is not too late to participate. So if you or somebody you know at this point wants to get on board and just join us right where we are, just click on that link. You'll see a banner at followingthetruth.com. It'll tell you how to get the book. It'll tell you how to sign up for my daily email reflection. And it'll also tell you how to listen to my daily podcast. In addition to this weekly podcast, I do a Monday through Friday podcast as well. So you do all those things. When you get the book, you read the introduction, and you just join us where we are. I mean, I'd love to have you join our Give Up Worry for Good program. And if you have questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. While you're at the website, I would greatly appreciate if you would consider leaving a donation or maybe becoming a monthly sponsor to my ministry. That would help me so much. Summer months are tough. I was looking at the bank account today, and it was not a pretty picture, but I trust that the Lord, through your generosity, will help me to sustain my full-time ministry. If you're able to do that, please consider doing so at followingthetruth.com. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for your support, your financial support, your support of prayers, and also your kind words. It means a lot to me. Okay, so the Mass readings for the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We're going to look at Mark's Gospel. And again, if you're new to this program, I always start with the Gospel because the Gospel really leads the way for all of the other readings. All of the other readings, at least the first reading in the Psalm, are chosen by the church to support the Gospel. So the Gospel proceeds sequentially from one week to the next during Ordinary Time. And the other readings sort of back up the message in the Gospel. So I always think it's a good idea to begin with the Gospel. Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Okay, here we go. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. So Jesus is leaving one region and heading back to his hometown. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. You know, that's what happens with Jesus. You'll hear people who love his message. You'll hear people who hate his message. But one thing is commonly seen. People are astonished or stunned when Jesus speaks. You can't ignore him. You either love him or hate him. And you know what? I believe that still holds true to this day. It's very hard to ignore Jesus. Either you're going to really get mad at him, or you're going to embrace his message. But any careful observation into what Jesus is saying, it's going to get some reaction out of you. Yes, we could just blow off the message and ignore it, and that's possible too. But I mean, any careful, serious look at what he's saying, it's going to either get you angry or it's going to get you excited. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. Yes, they said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands?" You know, they're saying, "Where did this guy get this? What in the world is he saying?" They're recognizing that he is speaking in a way that they are not used to. And here's what's interesting. They say this: "Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with him, with us?" They're thinking that, wait a minute, this guy, he's just an ordinary guy. He can't be. It's funny. This is just a good insight into human nature. They can't believe that these eloquent and powerful words are coming from this ordinary man's mouth. And they just can't accept it. And they took offense at him. See this? They're thinking, all right, we're going to ignore the message. How dare he speak like this? Ignoring the fact that he's speaking powerfully, and they're astonished. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house. So he was not able to perform any mighty deeds there apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. Listen to this last line. He was amazed at their lack of faith. You know, I'm going to tell you something, a little piece of advice, a rule of thumb, if you want to call it that, for me. If you're going to amaze Jesus, make it a point to not amaze him because of your lack of faith, right? Can you imagine? He was amazed. Their lack of faith actually amazed Jesus. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Because what they were doing, they were completely ignoring the message because of the fact that this message, which is a good message, which is a powerful message, this message should not be coming from this ordinary messenger. There's no way he should be saying what he's saying. And I think for many of us, there are times when we maybe ignore a message that comes forth from our church, maybe some teaching, and we say, well, this is just, no, the church can't tell me this. And I'm saying we all have a tendency to do this. And even if you are someone who believes in every last piece of church teaching, yes, I will do whatever the church teaches, there are times that even the most loyal and observant practicing Catholic sometimes veers from the church. Not necessarily over a matter of doctrine or formal doctrine, but maybe over a matter of loving your enemy, of reaching out to somebody who you can't stand. And this is what trips me up all the time. Being impatient. You know, these are all church teachings too. Everything that came from the mouth of Jesus is a church teaching. And the church really has told us we got to love other people. We got to pray for them. We've got to evangelize. I mean, you know, ignoring any of this stuff is essentially doing what the people did to Jesus that day in the synagogue. So I point this out not to point fingers, but just to let you know that we all are guilty of this at times. And it's a good exercise, I think, to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and to do an examination of conscience each day, assisted by the Holy Spirit, because I've done that sometimes, and there are some things I think of that, like, whoa, I would have never thought of that. But that's what the Holy Spirit can do. The Holy Spirit can help us to find out these problem areas so that we can work, along with the grace given to us through the Holy Spirit, we can work to eliminate these areas and be transformed again by the Holy Spirit into the image of Jesus, because that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. That's one of the jobs of the Spirit in each of us. So we can all be blind at times when it comes to listening to the prophet, which reminds me, let me just say this before we do the first reading, which is a reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. A prophet is someone who speaks on behalf of God. You know, we sometimes think of a prophet as somebody who predicts the future. That's one role of a prophet. But primarily, the prophets speak on behalf of God. God speaks to the prophet speaks to the people. In the Old Testament, you had the Lord working through different prophets, many different prophets, to deliver this message. And then with the coming of Christ, Christ in his prophetic role, the Old Testament prophets were no longer needed. Jesus spoke God's message to the people. Now, as baptized Christians, you and I are baptized into the priesthood because we are called to offer our lives as sacrifice, even if we're not a ministerial priest, you know, even if we haven't received the sacrament of holy orders, we're baptized into the prophetic role of Christ, which means we are called as baptized Christians to share the good news with others. So we are prophets. And then one day we will also be able to reign with the Lord in heaven. I mean, we have a heavenly reward at the end of our life. So we really, as members of the body of Christ, the church, we share in the prophetic role of Christ. We're prophets. You're a prophet. I'm a prophet. And all it means is we share God's word with others. We share God's love with others. It's not always done by words. It can be done by actions. We can be showing our love for other people. And in doing so, we are prophets, right? Okay, so the first reading is from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. As the Lord spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard the one who was speaking say to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have revolted against me to this very day. Hard of face and obstinate of heart are they to whom I am sending you. But you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, and whether they heed or resist, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that a prophet has been among them. This is challenging, and what we see in this example from Ezekiel is that the Lord repeatedly would send prophets to speak to people who did not want to hear the message. Whether or not they listen is not the prophet's concern. The prophet's concern is to relay the message. And the same thing goes for us. We are not called to be successful. We're called to be faithful. And that's what the Lord expects from us. Not everybody's going to want to hear what we have to say. Not everybody's going to want to accept our message and surrender their lives to Jesus based on what we say. It's just not going to happen. And a lot of times we see that in our families. That's where it's the worst. I know I've seen that too. My extended family, there's like everybody knows what I do. They know about my ministry. They really don't want to hear the message. And that's okay. All I do is set my example, wait for an opening, do what I can, and pray. Pray that the word, the good news, will bear fruit in the lives of those who don't want to hear my message. That's going to happen to you too. So don't let it get you discouraged. Don't let it make you stop either. But as I said at the beginning, don't go looking for fights. There's a time when it's best to back off. And the Holy Spirit is really good at helping you. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is counsel. And the gift of counsel enables us to know how to act in real life situations. So sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to tell you, you're going to get a feeling that I probably shouldn't keep pushing because this isn't working out too well. Go with that. Because either you or somebody else at the right time is going to maybe complete the job and win that soul over for the Lord. You know, it's like in a baseball game. Sometimes the relief pitcher comes in and gets the victory. That's what has to happen sometimes. That's hard, though, because we get passionate, especially when we love the Lord. We want to try to do our best to convert people. Well, sometimes we're not the ones who are going to get it done. What we have to remember is the Holy Spirit ultimately has to open somebody's heart in order for our words to take effect. And sometimes it's a delayed response. Years later, our message might bear fruit, you know? So that's an important thing to remember. The responsorial psalm is Psalm 123. Our eyes are fixed on the Lord, pleading for his mercy. To you I lift up my eyes who are enthroned in heaven, as the eyes of servants are on the hands of their masters. As the eyes of a maid are on the hands of her mistress, so are our eyes on the Lord, our God, till he have pity on us. Have pity on us, O Lord, have pity on us, for we are more than sated with contempt. Our souls are more than sated with the mockery of the arrogant, with the contempt of the proud. Our eyes are fixed on the Lord, pleading for his mercy. So I think what's important for us, and you know, I'm going to just share something with these, with the gospel, the first reading here. It's very easy to listen to this and say, see, this is what's going to happen. And that's the trouble with the world today. We're preaching Christ. Nobody wants to listen. Everybody's going to hell because they're not listening. We got to be careful with that. Sometimes, yes, that's true. But I would say, and this is, I was thinking about this earlier today, and I want to say this now, I believe very strongly that any time we read a passage from Scripture, especially with these mass readings, or any time that we open the Bible, we should keep reading or keep praying on that passage until it somehow is directed to us. So in other words, yes, the gospel today is a reminder that many people don't want to hear what the church has to, what Christ has to say through his church. That's a given. But more importantly, I can't control those other people. I can't. But I can control myself. I am responsible for how I respond. So how does that message affect me? Again, that doesn't mean that it doesn't apply to the world, because it does. But I also want to make sure that there's a takeaway for me. And that's why I emphasized that I tend to sometimes disregard the Lord's message too. And I want to work on that, because that's a problem for me. And that displeases him. That saddens Jesus. And I don't like that. So always get some takeaway from these readings for yourself as well. The second reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Brothers and sisters, that I, Paul, might not become too elated because of the abundance of the revelations. And, you know, as I'm reading this, this ties in to that message that I just spoke. Sometimes we can feel a little too good because maybe we love the Lord, we read scripture, we're really into our Catholic faith. We could feel a little too good and start to look down on others. That's a very real danger, and it's something that I have to watch really closely, because I have that tendency. So Paul says, because of the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, an angel of Satan to beat me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I begged the Lord about this, that it might leave me. But the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. I will rather boast more gladly of my weaknesses, in order that the power of Christ may dwell with me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and constraints for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, this is an example of, and we just have a couple minutes left, this is an example of how sometimes we'll try to share the good news with somebody. Maybe we'll get into an argument, we'll lose our cool, or something will happen, and we'll go back and we'll think, man, did I mess up? Oftentimes, the Lord allows that to happen because he wants us all to remember, this is not about us. We can't do anything without the help of the Holy Spirit. So I think that's a good reminder for us. And on the flip side of that, if you're feeling too weak to share God's message with others, fall back on the Holy Spirit and realize that when you are weak, then you are strong, because you got the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Okay, so good stuff. Go out there, spread the good news. Somebody needs to know about Jesus today through your words, through your actions, through a smile. The world needs that message, okay? Any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Please don't forget to head on over to my website, followingthetruth.com. And if you could, leave a donation. If you could, become a monthly subscriber. That helps me to fund my ministry, which is in pretty bad shape for the summer. I'm going to be honest with you. It is a tough, tough time, especially coming off of the pandemic. So if you're able to do that and support me so I can continue going, I would really appreciate that. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go to make that donation. And God willing, I hope to be back with you here next week on the Gary Zimmer Show. Hope you have a fantastic week. Thank you so much for listening. And you know what? I'm praying for you. God bless you. See you next time.